Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
I'm sure over the last 36, 48 hours, you've been listening to this deal announced following a meeting between the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and the US President Donald Trump. And the agreement is going to see EU exports taxed at about 15% in a bid to try and resolve a transatlantic tariff standoff that effectively threatened to explode into a full-blown trade war. But what does this mean for Irish companies, for the CEOs and the managing directors that are in their offices this lunchtime looking at the details of this trade deal? How will Irish exporters be affected? Simon McKeever is the CEO of the Irish Exporters Association. What are you hearing from exporters, Simon?
Good afternoon, first of all. And I suppose from our point of view, what the positives of the deal is, it's 15% tariff as opposed to a 30% tariff. So we have a level of certainty around that and companies can start working towards that. But to be honest, I don't view this as a great deal. I don't think it's a great deal for the European Union. And really, I suppose the EU has been hampered by, you know, its dependence on the United States for defence and security, particularly with the war in Ukraine going on as well. So I think we've been you know, negotiating with one hand, perhaps both hands tied behind our backs. So we know it's 15% on most goods as opposed to 30%, which it could have been. But I don't think it's a particularly great deal for the European Union. There's still, you know, a level of uncertainty around certain goods. We're being told that pharma is included in the 15% tariff. Pharma has been tariff free up until now. But there's also a Section 232 investigation due to come out on pharma. So are we absolutely certain that that is not going to change over time? Spirits and alcohol are sitting out there. There hasn't been a deal done in any way, shape or form on that. I think we need to note that this is a deal with Donald Trump. Per se, trade deals are normally done system to system. And in the United States, that's Congress. Congress has handed that power over to the presidency, and there'll be no ratification of this by Congress. So it could change at any time. I think a particular concern for our members would be that the US has said the implementation of this deal is Friday. That gives them 3.5 days to get ready for this. What happens to any goods that might be in transit? Now, I know a lot of our members have been holding off shipping any further goods to the States until the announcement came out about this. Where does this leave, Ireland's competitive position vis-a-vis the UK? Where does this leave Northern Ireland and all of this? I think there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered. There's an awful lot of detail that needs to come out in this. We have called on the government to come up with a tariff adjustment fund. The word adjustment being very carefully chosen in that. There will be an adjustment required by Irish exporters in all of this. And they will need to adjust to this new reality of this tariff into the States. How soon can they lay all of that tariff off onto their customers over there? And if they can't and they have to swallow some of that cost, then that it already has hit investment levels. So will that hit employment? And you think about some very important companies in regional parts of the country and the impact that would have on employment. So there is this adjustment that is going to be required. There's also going to be an adjustment required for further spending in R&D and innovation, because, you know, there's been a huge amount of talk about diversifying our export base, going into new markets. You can't necessarily sell the product that you're selling into the United States into another part of the world, say Indonesia, because of different standards. So companies will need time, will need funding, and we need to make sure that the jobs are kept tied to those companies. And I guess a final piece for me in all of this is, you know, Irish and European goods going into the US will be hit with a 15% tariff. There's some exemptions. But the US has 0% tariff access to the European Union. That doesn't take into account any of the difference in standards. So, the American president has had this fixation on selling American cars into the European Union. There's different standards within the European Union on cars, on agricultural products. You have a very savvy consumer in the European Union. You take cars. I mean, the reason why people don't buy American cars in the European Union is they're bigger. They consume an awful lot more, fuel than European cars. And you know, you think about the standard of them as well. So they might have zero tariff access to the European Union, but what about all the standards and the difference in standards, and where does it leave that? So, you know, I look at this and I kind of go, this is a deal that gives a level of certainty. So it's 15% rather than the threatened 30%. Mm. It is with an individual who keeps changing his mind and you don't know what he's going to come out with next. There is a load of Section 232 tariff adjudications to come out of in the States, which, listening to President von der Leyen, they're not going to be affected by this, but who knows, it's Donald Trump.
Are there any other alternative, perhaps, countries that Irish exporters can look to?
Well, I mean, we're a wide open economy and we are trading with a huge diverse range of markets all around the world. So it's in our... It's ingrained in, your medium, smaller sized company upwards to look to global markets because the Irish market is so small. All our members are always looking at different markets. The problem with the United States market for us is that it's such a huge market for Irish companies. Dealing with the United States have become very similar to dealing with the UK. There have become this degree of familiarity and we were doing an awful lot of business in there. So to be able to kind of replace any displacement of business over there will take some time. And that's okay. Why we're saying we need this tariff adjustment mechanism, which will be based on the Brexit adjustment fund, which was brought out in 2021, 2022, of which Ireland was the biggest beneficiary of in all of that.
Simon McKeever, CEO of the Irish Exporters Association. Simon, thanks a million for joining us here on the programme.
Not at all.
Adam McCoy O'Grady is the head of sales with Outcast Brands. Adam, what was your reaction to this?
Well, being a spirits business, we still have some uncertainty. So spirits was one of the carve-out areas. I would hope that it's going to be no more than the 15%. That seems to be the kind of universal rate. A little bit of me would hope that it'll be less. There might be some sort of reciprocal deal around bourbon and US spirits. But it's not great, as your previous speaker, Simon, was saying. We've got a lot of opportunities in the US, but at the same time, adding extra costs in anywhere along the value chain impacts the shelf price for the consumer, and that impacts then your competitiveness. There's a differentiation as well with products now from the Republic and products from Northern Ireland. Whilst we don't trade in the whiskey space, we do a gin and a rum. We do see products, though, that are coming from the north as well. And the UK agreement is 10% currently. So you'll have two products side by side on shelves that will be marked as products of Ireland that will have different tariffs applied to them. So it'll impact on the competitiveness of brands from the Republic, is a concern in any business.
Yeah.
But it's good that there's some sort of resolution coming to a close on this.
I was just going to ask you that. Was there any good news?
Not particularly, other than it might come
to an end. It wasn't 30.
Yeah, we'll know where we're moving forward from once we know what the implications will be for spirits. We're very fortunate. We're not very exposed to the US market currently, unlike some other brands in the spirits industry. We're a business, and we've put a lot of focus into Central Europe, along with some Asian markets. So we've been trying to pivot away from where was our natural kind of direction of travel, which was more the US.
Yeah. You're already making. So I'm just going to try it, Adam. Yeah. Just reconnect with you there on your phone line, if you don't mind, for a moment. Mary Sadlier is the CEO of the Cool Swan Irish Cream Liqueur. How are you guys affected, Mary?
Very similar to Adam. We export, now we are very exposed to the US market. It's a material market for us. So, 15%. It's like Adam, it's good that we have a number because uncertainty is the hardest thing in business because it's known as a fast-moving consumer goods sector, this, because if you miss a week, say right now we're doing Christmas planning. So if you miss a week and you can't get your product out there, you could miss Christmas. So it's very important to have certainty as the first thing.
So for you guys as a liqueur company, and I know you're based and produced here in Ireland, how much of your goods are exported, Mary?
Of all our goods, over 75, nearly 80% of our business is export, yeah. So the UK and the US are the two biggest cream markets in the world. So we supply to both of them. So we've had Brexit, and then we got tariffed in 2018. So the good news for us is this time we're not on our own, because the last time we were very much on our own. And, you know, people didn't realize we'd been tariffed, and we were having weird conversations with distributors and people in the States because they were like, why are you tariffed? Irish whiskey isn't tariffed. Irish gin isn't tariffed. So we've been here. We were tariffed in 2018, 20%. And that was taken off then in 2020 under the Biden administration.
So now it's 15. Now it's going to be looking like 15% tariffs. You talk about the certainty and the level of certainty, I suppose, that the announcement brings. How does that affect planning and does it affect staffing, Mary?
Yeah, everything affects. Like, you're constantly looking at your costs. I mean, it's always tough to be in business. We're in a massive transition where we had a world order of a particular style, you know, and now we're getting a new one. So you've got this transitionary period, which makes you just have to keep redrawing. It's more exhausting than anything else because you're constantly redrawing your business, but you got to be flexible. So the good news is, you know, between AI and different things, there's way more flexibility in the business. And when we got done in 2018, I had to pay quite a bit for American legal advice. You know, I had to get tariff experts to tell me what the problems were. I didn't get all of that now on AI, and I can be well informed, you know. So it's worked on that cost. So you're always playing swings and roundabouts in this business. You've got to be wildly optimistic because the US market is fantastic. You know, it really is. They're great customers. We're not moving from it. So we just have to keep cutting our cloth to keep fitting what we need to achieve in the US market.
Okay. Not just, I suppose, the drinks industry. Louis Christian Brown is the Quality and Environmental Officer with Cashel Farmhouse Cheese. What will this mean for cheese exporters, Louis?
Thank you very much for talking to us today. Broadly speaking, I'd agree with what all the previous callers have actually said. I mean, 15%, yes, it's not optimal, but it is at least a figure we now know. And so certainty is going to be something that will help us. Our exposure to the US market is quite small. However, we're a specialty niche product. So we would only be available in, you know, some of the top end stores. We have some hope that the customers who will be visiting those stores will be slightly more able to manage the price. But it does certainly make opportunities to go into the wider market more difficult, because the mass consumer wouldn't have the same pocket as maybe the private consumer going to those specialty shops might have. I mean, it's great to not be on 30%. And there is still this carve out, which we don't know about agri-foods, exactly what's going to happen there. But 15% is probably a manageable amount. What we have seen, though, are interesting opportunities opening up because the way the current US government has made decisions and then gone back on decisions, it's created a great deal of uncertainty in other markets. And it means that markets that historically were quite closed to even looking at a small producer like ourselves, we are now having conversations. So there is hope that we may find opportunities coming out of this, which will be in our favour.
And what would those opportunities likely be?
The North American market as a whole is huge. We have obviously a lot of Irish and Irish-related people living in that market. So they are quite open to buying an Irish-based product. Mm. That's in our favour. We've got the brand recognition, and we've got obviously exported people living there. we have hope that the Canadian market will open up for us in the next number of months, if not years. And certainly we've established good relationships with importers over many years. But as I say, those relationships now seem to be bearing fruit, that the conversations are much more positive. Rather than saying, well, we'll buy it in through the US, they may say, look, do you know what? We'll deal directly with you. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a great deal more certainty as to how that market will develop. It also helps with a specialty product like Cashel Blue Cheese. It's a shelf life sensitive product. And to be able to go directly into the market and into those distributors will obviously help improve all the time the quality of the final product, because we'll have the control of the entire supply chain.
How much of your export, or how much of your products are exported of Cashel Farmhouse Cheese, Louis?
We would have been exporting up to 70% for many years. The change during COVID was dramatic. We are now 70% within Ireland.
So you've had a huge shift.
Yeah. The US only makes up about 5% of that market for us. But we've had a great experience in the Australian market in the last number of years. So while we've lost quite a lot of the UK market historically, because Brexit was a real hit for us, and obviously there were policies about regionalization, which meant that we fell off the shelves of some of the specialty retailers, we are now seeing some opportunities reopening in the UK. So we're hopeful that we're going to be going into a good place, having gone through a series of fairly bad hits. The US is just, it's like every market. There are days when things seem to be going well and days when you seem to be walking backwards.
And it's interesting you talk about the shift from, you know, the exporter market to the internal, the number of people, I suppose, here at home in Ireland eating the likes of Cashel Farmhouse cheeses. How big is the Irish consumer for you guys, Mary? You know, do Irish people, are they big consumers of cream liqueurs?
Yeah, and they're very good, really good to understand when it's Irish made, what they're getting. So they're very loyal to Irish brands, is what we find. They're also very loyal to, I mean, the three brands you have on here now, we're kind of independently owned, family-run brands. So they're very, very loyal to brands like ourselves, which is, you're a very different structure to, say, a much larger corporate that can sort of do different things than we can do.
Well, just on that, Carl Lynch is a customs and trade partner with BDO Ireland. Will Irish homegrown, family-run businesses that export, Carl, will they be able to absorb these tariffs?
Hi, good afternoon. I think this is going to be a problem. Like, if we're looking at 15% hit on a small to medium-sized business going into the US and then that being passed on to the consumer, the question is, will the consumer absorb that, or do you have to absorb it in your profit line? And if you have to absorb it in your profit, how much profit are you making that can actually, that you can actually do that? There's quite a difference between, say, the large pharmaceutical companies who may be looking at a 15% but have a significant profit percentage that can absorb that, versus the specialty Irish producer and exporter, and even MedTech, which we don't really talk about that often at the moment, but they're also getting hit with 15%. Which is quite a significant hit from a 0% rate. So there's a lot dependent really on the kind of the size of the business, the market you're in, the level of profit that you can, take, or is that where you need to pass that on to be competitive. And you need to look at things like, are you selling to a distributor or a customer, or are you selling into a company? So that, you know, you might be able to make some changes within the pricing structure if it's into a company, but it's a lot more difficult to do that if it's to a third party. And then you've got to look at, well, how your contract's been put together. And if you've made a contract, say last year, and you're the importer into the US and absorbing that, then that's going to be quite different to somebody who has a contract where they can either share the cost with their customer, or maybe they have it on a delivered basis, so it's actually the customer acts as the importer. So there's quite a lot of things that companies need to look at to ensure that they, you know, maintain their profitability. And the only good thing about having a deal now is that at least companies know what they're facing. So now you can actually sit down with the pen and paper and work it out.
Yeah, if there's some little bit of maybe certainty from actually having the figure, the 15 and not 30%. And when do we know, just finally, Carl, when will this actually kick in?
It's supposed to kick in on Friday. So for, I'd say, 70% of exports, it'll kick in on Friday. There's been uncertainty back and forward about whether semiconductors and pharmaceuticals will get hit on Friday, but it seems not that they will continue as part of the Section 232 investigations. So Friday really is the big day for everybody, and that's the one to be ready for.
All right, OK. Carl Lynch from BDO Ireland, Louis Christian Brown, who's from Cashel Farmhouse Cheese, Mary Sadlier is from the Cool Swan Irish Cream Liqueur Company, Adam McCoy O'Grady from Outcast Brands, and Simon McKeever there from the Irish Exporters Association.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.